Okay, so we are starting Malachim Beis tonight. Very exciting. Perek Aleph of Malachim Beis. And it's not such a long perek, so Mirza Shem will cover the whole thing tonight. It's 18 Sukkim. And kicks us off to Eliyahu. We're back to Eliyahu HaNavi. Back to Eliyahu HaNavi. Yes, already. I didn't even say anything yet, Herb. Yeah.
But you mentioned Malachim Beis.
Yeah.
Why is there a Malachim Aleph and a Malachim Beis? Why isn't there just one Malachim?
That's a good question. The short answer to that is that there is one Malachim. Malachim Aleph and Malachim Beis are really just Malachim. And the breakup of the Prakim is, we know, is of Christian origin, right? That we know. I believe the breakup of the two books is also. I don't believe that in Chazal you will find a reference to Malachim Aleph or Malachim Beis. I think you'll find just Malachim.
Oh, Rabbi, when they lean Torah from a cloud,
yeah.
So do they have to stop?
Malachim Aleph and Beis? No. No, it's just Malachim, yeah. Yeah, all the Aleph and Beis. Divrei Yamim also, I believe. It's all not from us. Now, why we use it is a good question, but I think that's just, you know, for convenience, honestly, I believe. Yeah. I mean, I will double check that, but I'm pretty sure that's the case. One second. I'm just looking at the introduction here. I happen to have the art school one.
Yeah, it says it.
It says it.
Yeah, on page 232.
Oh, you're in 232 by Malachim Beis? Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, according to the Masoretic tradition, the books of 1 Kings and 2 Kings are actually one long book. Their designation as two separate books is of non-Jewish origin. Same applies to the books of Samuel and Chronicles. Thus, in the total of the 24 books of Tanakh, they are counted as 3 books, not 6. However, for the convenience of the reader, we refer to chapters and verses in the way that they have become in the way that has become familiar, i.e., 2 Kings 3:10. There you have it.
Okay, cool.
So nowadays, it's really just for convenience. Okay. Here we go. Malachim Beis Perek Aleph. So now, actually, Herb's question is a great segue right into the beginning of the shir, because Malachim Beis Perek Aleph really just follows on the heels of Malachim Aleph Perek Chaf Beis, right? It's really just an ending to that perek. So if you remember at the very end, I know we didn't have a shir last week because of Shushan Purim, but at the very end of Perek Chaf Beis, so we spoke about Achav's son. Achav, of course, died in Perek Chaf Beis, or was killed, I should say, Perek Chaf Beis, and his son was Achaziyahu. Achaziyahu, and the pasuk says Achaziyahu, then Achav Malach al Yisrael b'Shomron. He was the king over Yisrael. He was the Melech Yisrael in Shomron, and this was at the same time as Yehoshaphat Melech Yehuda. He only ruled for 2 years, and we'll see exactly how he died in a minute. And the pasuk said, just again, this is just Chazara, that he was not good in the eyes of Hashem, right? He was a bad person. He did the evil in the eyes of Hashem. He went in the ways of his father and his mother. You know, his mother also wasn't too great. And in the ways of his grandfather Yeravam, Asher Hechti as Yisrael, who caused Bnei Yisrael to do all sorts of chatoim. Terrible guy, really, really awful person, and did plenty of avodah zara. Okay, now comes the navi here in Malachim Beis Perek Aleph, and the navi says, "Vayivsha Moav biYisrael acharei mos Achav." After Achav died, so Moav, right? Moav, of course, is the nation. Vayivsha. Vayivsha, the language of Pesha, almost is like wrongdoing. The Mefarshim all say here that there was an act, essentially that they rebelled. They rebelled. That in the times of Achav, they were subservient to the Jewish people. According to some of the Mefarshim, the Malbim talks about the fact they paid taxes to the Jewish people. They were law-abiding citizens, governed by the Jewish people. But once Achav died, Vayivsha, they rebelled. And they began to push the envelope, and they didn't want to be ruled anymore by the Jewish people. And the Malbim says this is really the beginning of the punishment of the house of Achav. Okay, because Achav died, but now we have to have the punishment of his household, not just him. So this is the beginning of the punishment of his household, because the son Achaziyahu took over. However, now tragedy befalls Achaziyahu. Pasuk Beis, Vayipol Achaziyah be'ad hastevacha ba'aliyoso asher b'shomron vayochal. So the pasuk says that Achaziyahu fell. He fell inside of his house. Apparently, the aliyoso, the aliyah, the second floor of his home. The way the mafarshim seem to describe this is that there was some sort of an open, kind of like a skylight in between the first floor and the second floor, and it provided light into into that second floor, right? The light from the first floor, went up through that skylight, so to speak, into the second floor. There was some sort of a sivacha, which they describe as almost like a lattice, a wood, lattice work type of covering that went on top of this opening, and he fell. He fell on it, according to some. He fell through. The Mitzvah Sava says he actually fell through, like down onto the floor below. You can imagine that was painful. Vayochal, and he was sick. He was injured, right? He was really badly hurt, badly injured. This was a traumatic fall, and he was really hurt. The Malbim says that this was unnatural, right? Meaning, I guess it was designed in a way that he should not have gotten hurt. Maybe because of the savacha there, or whatever the case might be. It wasn't. It was designed in a proper way. He shouldn't have gotten hurt here. Something happened in a strange, unnatural way that he fell and he got hurt. And the Malbim says that you see that this was a patch. This was a wake-up call to Achaziyahu, who we know was Vayas HaRab Bnei Hashem. He was doing all sorts of bad things and serving Avodah Zarah. This was supposed to be a wake-up call, and yet he did not do tshuva. Vayishlach malachim vayomer aleihem. So he calls for he asks for messengers to come, and he tells them lechu dirshu bivaal zvuv Elohei Ekron im echya mecholi zeh. He wanted to determine: am I going to live or am I going to die? He was very seriously wounded, very seriously hurt. So he wanted: am I going to live or am I going to die? So he sends a group of messengers to consult the Avodah Zarah. Now this is a new one. Baal Zevuv Elohei Ekron. Baal Zevuv, right? Zevuv we know was a fly, right? Baal Zevuv, the god of Ekron. This is the Avodah Zarah. And this is a new god, right? This is a new god. And the Malbim says because Baal wasn't cooperating, right? Baal wasn't really answering. Baal wasn't cooperating. So he had to find a new god, and this was the Baal Zevuv. Now the Malbim says that a Zvuv is a symbol of death, because we know that Zvuvim, flies, are attracted to things that are spoiled, right? Something spoils and all of a sudden you have flies all over it. So flies are attracted to things that are decaying, things that are spoiled. So in a sense, flies are a symbol of death. And the priests, the Komrim of this Avodah Zarah, the Baal Zvuv, they were known to be able to determine if a person was going to live or die, because they were kind of like the Avodah Zarah of death, right? So that's why he sent this delegation to this Avodah Zarah to determine, is he going to live or is he going to die? Now, it was interesting that I saw in the HaTorah HaTamima, he quotes the Tosfos in Shabbos. The Tosfos says that this was actually, they used to fashion a small miniature Avodah Zarah. A fly is small. So they would make a small little like pocket size of Avodah Zarah, I guess the size of a fly, and they would keep it in their pocket. And that would, they would walk around with this little Avodah Zarah, shaped as a fly in their pocket. He also interestingly quotes the Siddur HaRokeach, and he quotes the Sefer Dan Yadin, never heard of it, but he says that they worship the fly. Why? Because apparently, the fly had a knack of escaping death. You ever try to catch a fly? It's not so easy, right? So flies had this knack of escaping death. And while other insects sometimes would get caught, in the mill when they would grind up the wheat, an insect would get caught in there and he would get all crushed. The flies never got caught. You know, whenever the flies were buzzing around, they always seemed to just, you know, fly away, and they always escaped death. So because of that, people looked at the flies and they thought that they had godly powers. They thought that they were like a deity, and that's why they worshipped the flies. These flies never got crushed. He also mentions that we know, as the Malbim points out, that flies are known as to be disgusting insects because they always are attracted to things that are spoiling or decaying. So these people, right, who worship this, they were also like a disgusting people that were attracted to this disgusting type of insect. And then finally, he quotes the Yalkut Shimoni, who says that a malek is actually compared to a fly, that just like a fly is attracted to something that's spoiling or decay. So a malek was attracted. They couldn't leave B'nai Yisrael alone. They were always like buzzing around B'nai Yisrael. They always wanted to attack, and you know, they couldn't leave them alone. And he says, he quotes the Balaturim, who says that the Pasuk by Amalek, Zikaron Basefer, Ksov, the Pasuk says, Ksov Zos Zikaron Basefer V'Simba Ozne Yehoshua. So the letters, the words I should say, Zikaron Basefer V'Sim Be'ozne, Zayin Veiz Vav Veiz, is Rosh Tevos Zvuv. And therefore, that's also the connection between Zvuv and Amalek. And essentially, the message that was being sent here, well, actually, we'll see that in a second. That's going to be the next pasuk. So pasuk gimel, umalach Hashem diber el Elio Hatishbi. So while this is going on, a malach Hashem, and presumably it says malach Hashem to contrast to the malachim that we read about in pasuk base that were messengers. So here it's a real angel, a malach Hashem. Malach Hashem diber el Elio Hatishbi. He comes to Elio Hatishbi, Elio Anovi. Kum alei likras malachei melech shomro. Go up and greet these messengers who are going to consult the Baal Zivuf, right? They're going to consult the Baal Zivuf. V'daber aleim and speak to them. Challenge them. Hamibli ein Elokim b'Yisrael. Is there no God in the Jewish people? Right? We're talking about Achaziah, who is a Jewish person. He's a Jewish king. Melech Yisrael. You have to run to the Baal Zivuf. You can't contact, you know, you can't contact the Jewish God. You can't come to one of the Jewish Nevi'im to find out what's going on. Atem holchim lidrosh b'Baal Zivuf Elohei Ekron. Instead, you're going to this Meshugan Avodah Zarah. What are you doing? So the Malach Hashem is telling Eliyahu HaNavi, go confront these messengers. Confront them. They're doing the wrong thing. They're going to the Baal Zivuf. They should not be. Now the Malbim says that he was instructed to go specifically to the messengers, not to the king. Right? Hashem was not sending Eliyahu HaNavi to go give Musar to Ahaziyahu. Maybe they thought he was a lost cause, or maybe Hashem thought, forget about him already, right? But rather, he was going to the messengers, to Malachim, who were going to find out this information, and he was supposed to give them a warning. He was supposed to give them a warning. Now, it's interesting. The Malbim points out that this part of the warning is not from Hashem. This part of the warning was really from him. What are you going to... That wasn't Hashem's message. That was his own message. Now, Hashem's message, we'll see in Pasuk Dalet. Let's just read Pasuk Dalet, and then we'll come back for a minute. V'lachen ko amar Hashem, hamita asher alisa shom, lo seireid mimena. The bed that you just climbed up because you're not well, Achaziyahu. Right? Achaziyahu got hurt. And now he climbed into bed. That bed that you just climbed into because you got hurt, lo sered mimena. You're never going to get off of that bed, right? You're not going to heal. Kimos tamus, you will die. Vayelech Elio, and Elio went. Okay, so this part, Pasuk Dal was the message from Hashem, says the Malbim. Pasuk Gimel was Elio's own message that he wanted to give Musar to these messengers who were going about things in the wrong way and going to the Avodah Zarah. Now, the message, keep in mind what the HaTorah Tamima said earlier, that there's this connection between Amalek and the Zvuv. So he says the message is, the only reason why Amalek was able to even attack B'nai Yisrael was because we know they just left Rafidim, and Chazal say, Rafu Yedeha min HaTorah, that B'nai Yisrael were weakened in their study of Torah. That's what gave Amalek that little opening to be able to attack B'nai Yisrael. Elio's message to them is that now is not an opportune time for you. Right now, B'nai Yisrael are strong. Now is not an opportune time for you, and therefore, you're not going to be successful against B'nai Yisrael right now. That's part of the message. Now, what's fascinating, one fascinating thing about this Pasuk Gimel, is that we refer to him as Eliyah HaTishvi. Why not Eliyahu? Right? What happened to the Vav? Okay? So, in Parshas B'chukosai, coming attractions, Parshas B'chukosai, the Pasuk says, V'zacharti as Brisi Yaakov, and in the Torah, the name Yaakov is spelled with a Vav. Yaakov is almost always spelled without a Vav. Yud Ayin Kuf Vez. But in Parshas B'chukosai, it's spelled with a Vav. Comes Rashi on the spot in Parshas B'chukosai and says that there are five places where the name Yaakov, five places in Tanakh where the name Yaakov is spelled with a Vav. And guess what? There are five places where the name Eliyahu is spelled without a Vav, Eliyah. Okay? So that's no coincidence, right? What's the pshat? Says Rashi, Yaakov took the letter from Eliyah, right, from Eliyahu. He took the letter Vav as collateral, Sheyavo v'yavaser geulas banav, that Eliyahu will come, and he will be the mevaser. He will be the one to inform us, the newscaster, to inform us that Mashiach is coming. Right? And we know that's Eliyahu Hanavi's job. That's why we talk about Eliyahu Hanavi so much, right? He's going to be the mevaser. He's going to be the one to come and tell us Mashiach is on his way. Okay, so this was collateral that Yaakov Avinu took from Eliyahu. He took the Vav five times. He took the Vav as collateral. Why five? Good question. I don't know the answer. I did see that the Torah Tamima quotes a Shemi Shmuel who explains why Dafka the Vav. And he says like this. He says, I tried to look it up inside, but I ran out of time. But he quotes him. He says that we know that Eliyahu represents the Midas Ha'emes. Eliyahu represents truth. And we know Yaakov also represents the Midas Ha'emes, Emes LiYaakov. He says that the Ost Vav also represents Emes. I don't know why or how, but he quotes a Zohar HaKadosh, who says that the Ost Vav is the Ost of Emes. So this letter, which represents the Mida of both Yaakov and Eliyahu, that's the letter that Yaakov took from Eliyahu as collateral, and that's going to be because it represents Emes, that's going to be the truth of the proclamation that Eliyahu Hanavi is going to make. He quotes the Shem Yishmol?
Quotes the Gura Aryeh.
Okay.
Aral's commentary to the Babrashi explains that the letter Vav symbolizes a finger, and the five Vav symbolizes a hand.
Uh-huh.
Shem was extending a hand to Yaakov, as it were, to assure him that it would be a
future. Interesting. Okay, so the Vav is like a finger, and the five is the five fingers of the hand. Like HaKadosh Baruch Hu was extending a hand to Yaakov to tell him, I'm committing that we're going to bring the Geula, and Eliyahu Hanavi is going to be Mevasa the Geula. Okay, beautiful, beautiful. The Torah Tamima also quotes the Psikta Rabasi, which is a Medrash, and he quotes this Medrash, fascinating Medrash here, that 3 days before Mashiach comes, Eliyahu Hanavi is going to go up onto the Hare Yisrael, is going to go up onto the mountains of Eretz Yisrael, Uboche umaspir aleihem, and he's going to cry and eulogize the mountains of Eretz Yisrael and say, Hare Eretz Yisrael ad masai atem omdim bechor bechorev tzio ushamama. Right, the mountains of Yisrael, how long are you going to lie desolate? This is 3 days before the coming of Mashiach. The Medrash says that his voice will be heard from one end of the world to the other, and then he's going to proclaim and say, Ba shalom la'ola. Peace is coming to the world. Okay, and he quotes a pasuk. The Medrash says the Rishayim are going to hear this and they're going to rejoice. And they're going to think they're included. Great, givaldik. Right, we're also part of this redemption. Okay? But on the second day, 2 days before Mashiach comes, Eliyahu HaNavi again is going to go up on the mountains and he's going to say, Tova ba'asa la'olam. Good is coming into the world. And on the third day, he's going to say, Yeshua, ba'asa Yeshua la'olam. Salvation is coming to the world. And again, the Rishonim are still rejoicing, think that they're part of things. And he's going to say, sorry guys, L'tzion malach elokayich. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's coming to be the king over Tzion, meaning Tzion and the children of Tzion, who've been doing the right thing all these years, they're the ones that are going to bask in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's glory and presence. You unfortunately will not. And that's how he's going to proclaim. That's how he's going to notify us that Mashiach is coming. Pretty cool. Okay. So this was Pasuk Gimel, Eliyahu HaNavi. Pasuk Dalet, we learned that this is the punishment of death that Ahaziyahu was going to suffer as a result of his sins. Pasuk Hey, Vayashuvu HaMalachim Elov Vayomer Elem Alehem Mazeh Shavtem. So the Malachim turn around. They turn around, and presumably they never got to the Baal Zavuv, right? Eliyahu HaNavi caught them. He gave them this Musar. He told them the bad news that their king is going, right? Their boss is going to die in his bed. And they said, okay, we have our update. So they turned around and they went back. Presumably they got back a lot quicker than Ahaziyahu thought they were going to return. And he says, what's going on? Why'd you come back so quick, so soon? So they said to him, Pasuk Vav, Vayomrei lov ish alali krosenu. So they said to him, there was a man who came up to greet us, Vayomer Eleinu, and he said to us, L'chu shuvu el ha-melech asher sholach eschem. Go return to the king that sent you. V'dibartem elov, and speak to him, and tell him the following. Ko amar Hashem, ha-mibli ein Elokim b'Yisrael, atem, atah sholeach lidrosh b'val zvuv Elohei Ekron. Are they right? Just this was Eliyahu HaNavi's Moser. Is there no God among the Jewish people that you have to go to seek out this Avodah Zarah Baal Zvuv? L'chein ha-mita asher alisa shom lo serin mimena kimo sabos. And they give him the whole update. They give him the whole thing. Now, the Pasuk Zayin, Vayedaber. Now, okay, sorry, before Pasuk Zayin, the Malbim just points out that even though Amibli Ein Elokim B'Yisrael was really Eliyahu's Musar and not Hashem's, they still say Ko Amar Hashem before that Hamibli. Right? If you look at Pesukim Gimel and Dalet, that's not what it says. Gimel is Eliyahu's Musar, and Dalet it says Ko Amar Hashem. Here they say Ko Amar Hashem before both, implying that they're both the word of Hashem. So why did they do that? Says the Malbim, because they were embarrassed. They didn't want to come and say that Eliyahu HaNavi rebuked them for doing what their king told them to do. Right? So they didn't say that. So they said the whole thing came from Hashem. The whole thing came from Hashem. They can hide behind Hashem. Pasuk Zayin. Vayomer, and that was interesting. They didn't tell him who this person was. And we'll see in a minute. It was clear that they did not know Eliyahu HaNavi. They didn't recognize him. Pasuk Zayin. Vayidaber aleihem. Ma mishpat ha'ish asher alo likraschem. Who's this person, right, who went up to greet you? Who was this person? Vayedaber aleichem es hadvarim ha'ila, and he said these things to you. What did he look like? Right? What did he look like? Now, the Radak also points out, interestingly, that we know Elisha was Eliyahu's right-hand man. We don't hear a word about Elisha here. So it seems that Elisha was not with Eliyahu, and even though he was his protege, but there were times when Eliyahu just went off by himself. Maybe to be in solitude, to get nevuah, whatever the case might be. Okay? So the Malbim now also explains that Ahaziyahu is curious. Who was this guy? And if he was a real Navi, why didn't he come to me? Why did he only come to the messengers? Maybe he's not an established Navi, right? Or maybe he was embarrassed because of how he's dressed. Maybe he's not dressed in a way that's befitting to go visit the king. So that's why he asks, who was he? How was he dressed? What did he look like? Pasuk Ches, And the Malbim, sorry, the Malbim also says that Ahaziel was upset. And he says, a chutzpah. This guy doesn't come to me. He doesn't come to my face. He comes to you, my messengers, and he gives this message. Right? My mishpat, also included in the mishpat, says the Malbim, is he was saying, I'm going to pass judgment on this person. What kind of chutzpah is this? Pasuk ches, vayomru elov. And they said to him, Ish Baal Se'ar. He was a person with a lot of hair. The Azur or Azur Bimasa. And he had a leather belt around his waist, around his loins. Vayomar, right away, Ahaziyahu knows exactly who that is. Elia Hatishbihu. That's Eliyahu Hanavi. From the description, he knew right away that was Eliyahu Hanavi. Radak says that how did they not recognize Eliyahu Hanavi? Eliyahu Hanavi was Eliyahu Hanavi. He was the greatest Navi of the time. How did these people not recognize him? So he says that Eliyahu has been on the run for a long time. He was in jail, but he was also on the run. Right? He was also on the run from Izevel. He was on the run for a long time, and it could be because of that they didn't recognize him. Now, the Malbim says maybe they were saying, listen, maybe he didn't come because his hair was a big mess, right? Apparently he had a lot of hair, and maybe it was a big mess and he couldn't come before the king. Maybe he was wearing this strange leather belt, which was maybe a strange garment, and it was a strange way to come before the king. So they were being down the kafskos and essentially telling the melech, well, he probably didn't come because he looked like this. He looked, you know, strange. But he knew right away that it was Eliyahu Hanavi. And he also knew that Eliyahu did not avoid coming to Ahaziyahu because he was embarrassed. Right? Eliyahu was not embarrassed of anybody. Right? Eliyahu, he was scared for his life. But besides for that, he wasn't embarrassed to tell anybody off and tell them what they were doing wrong. So he knew the only reason he didn't come was because of his hatred for the house of Ahav. And he knew that. He understood that. I saw also fascinating, the HaTorah HaTamima quotes the Pirkei D'Rebbe Eliezer, who says, what was this leather belt that was around his Mosnayim? So the Pirkei D'Rebbe Eliezer says that this was a special belt, a special leather belt that was made from the ayil of, that was created by Ashmashos. We know that the Mishnah and Avos tells us that there were 10 things created by Ashmashos. This ayil was one of them. This was the ayil of Akedas Yitzchak also, that was found, that Avram Avinu founded Akedas Yitzchak. And the Pirkei D'Rabbi Eliezer says that there was nothing from this aisle that was not used. Every item from this aisle was used for something constructive. And the ore, the hide of this aisle, was used to make this special leather belt that Eliyahu Hanavi wore. And that's what this is referring to. So pretty interesting. Okay. Pasuk Tes. Vayishlach Elov Star Chamishim Vachamisha. So Ahaziyahu is not gonna just take the sitting down or lying down, right? So he sends his officers to go get Eliyahu. And he sends a Starei Chamishim. Starei Chamishim means it's an officer of Asar Chamishim is an officer that oversees 50 other people, 50 other officers, and he comes with his 50 men. So this is the Asar Chamishim, Vachamishav with his 50 men. Vaya'al Elov, he goes up himself. Now Eliyahu, the Mefarshim explained, Eliyahu Hanavi was on top of the mountain, right, doing his, he was in his bodidus in solitude. They come to the mountain where Eliyahu is. The Sar Chamishim leaves his men at the bottom, and he himself climbs up to confront Eliyahu. Vayidaber Elov Isho Elokim, and he speaks to him, and he says, Hamelech Diber Reida. The king has spoken, you must come down. And he demands from Eliyahu that he must come down. The king is summoning him to come to him. He's obviously not afraid of Eliyahu, right? He just goes right up to confront him. However, Eliyahu is obviously not scared by this person. Pasuk Yud, Vayane Eliyahu Vaidaber El Sarah Hamishim. So Eliyahu answers him and he tells him, Pimisha Lokimani. He says, if you're calling me a man of God, right? And that's how he's referring to him, Isha Elokim. So if you're calling me a man of God, Hey Raid Eishmina Shamayim Vesochal Oschav Es Hamishecha. Excuse me, fire should come down from heaven and consume you and your men. And that's exactly what happened. Eish comes down from the heavens and consumes this person and his men. Okay, why? Says the Malbim, what do they do to deserve this? The chutzpah, right? The chutzpah that they would come to the Navi and demand that he comes to be seen by the king, that's a chutzpah. It's a terrible chutzpah to the Navi, and they deserve death. Pasuk Yud Aleph. So they don't return. Ahaziyahu figures that something happened, so he sends another delegation. He sends another Sar Chamishim with another group of 50 people. The second officer was a little bit more afraid, says the Malbim. Here it doesn't say Vayal. He didn't go up. He stands at the bottom, right? I guess he sees the charred remains of his predecessor. So he stands at the bottom and he yells up to Eliyahu. He figures, listen, I'm safe down here, right? Eliyahu's up there. I'm much safer over here. He shouted up to him. Eliyahu, right? Again, not very pleased with how he's being treated. Vayan Eliyahu vayidaber aleihem. Yimisha Elokim ani, tered eish min ha-shamayim, v'socha la'oschav yas chamishecha. Same exact formula. Tered eish Elokim min ha-shamayim, v'socha la'oschav yas chamishav. Fire comes down and consumes this fellow and his men as well. Now, he was not quite as chutzpahdik as the first person because he didn't come up to confront Eliyahu. However, he stood down there thinking, no, he can't touch me from down here, right? He, you know, so that itself was the chutzpah to think that there was some kind of limitation of the Navi and the Ribono Shel Olam that they couldn't punish him from down here. He stood down with his men, and he says, that's why it says Eish Elokim, says the Malbim, because this was a very powerful fire that didn't just consume this person where he was. It traveled down from the mountain and consumed him with his men down at the bottom. Okay? Once again, they don't return to Ahaziyahu. He figures something is up. He sends a third delegation, another Sar Chamishim, Pachamishov and his men. So this fellow is getting smart. He says, listen, the first two guys, it didn't end well for them. I'm petrified, right? He didn't have a choice. The king sent him. He doesn't have a choice. He says, I'm trying a different approach. And he starts prostrating himself, bowing down to Eliyahu, the Neged Eliyahu. And they love, and he pleads with him in a respectful, humble way. Please, spare my life. Spare my life. Not like you did to my two friends. V'nefesh avodecha, in the lives of my men. Eile chamishim be'einecha. Please don't kill me. Please don't kill me. He came alone, and he came to appease Eliyahu. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Hine yarda eish min ha-shamayim v'atocha l'shnei sarei ha-chamishim ha-rishonim yes chamishayhem ve'ata tikar nafshi be'enecha. He says, I know what happened to the first two delegations. Please, please spare me. I don't want to end up like them. Please help me. And also, the Mitzudah Stavit says, he's saying, you know, that happened to them because of how they spoke. I'm not speaking that way. I'm not being chutzpahdik. I'm not being brazen. I'm being very respectful. I'm being humble, right? And the Malbim says, he's also arguing with Eliyahu that if the purpose of the fire the first two times was to show your might, you did it. You accomplished your goal. You're very mighty, right? You don't need to show that anymore. And if the purpose was to punish them for speaking with chutzpah and brazenly, so then I'm speaking with humility. So either way, there's no reason to kill me. No reason to consume me with fire. Okay? And here also, the Malbim says he repeats, Tikar Nafshi. He said it in the previous Pasuk. Pasuk Yud-Gimel, here in Pasuk Yud-Dalet also. Because the first time, says the Malbim, he's asking, please don't burn me to death like the first two groups. And the second time he's saying, also, you know, please come with me, because if you don't come with me, then the king's going to kill me. Right? So do me a favor. Please, please, please. Spare my life. Don't kill me. And number one, please, please, please come with me so that the king won't kill me. Because either way, I'm going to get killed here. So I'd like you to help me out. Okay? Speaking with humility, speaking humbly, pleading with Eliyahu. Pasuk Tezvav, Vayedaber Malach Hashem El Eliyahu, Raid Oso. So the Malach comes to Eliyahu and he says, go down with him. Right? Follow him down. Al Tira Mipanav. Don't be afraid. You have nothing to be afraid of Eliyahu. Don't be afraid, because we know Eliyahu in the past has been afraid, that either afraid that he was going to get killed, right? Because after all, Eliyahu Hanavi issued a pretty awful prophecy that Achaziyahu was not going to make it out of bed. This says the Radak, maybe he was also still afraid of Izebel. Izebel's still around, right? You know, the rotten mother. She's still around, so maybe he's still afraid of her. But of course, says the Malbim, once Hashem commands him to go, it's nothing to be afraid of anymore. Now it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah Hashem, shaliach mitzvah. Nothing's going to happen to me. Pasuk Tezayin, Vayidaber Elov. And now Eliyahu comes, and he speaks directly to Achaziyahu, and he speaks to him, and he says, Komar Hashem, Yana Shashalachta Malachim Lidrosh Bival Zvuv Elohei Ekron, Amibli Ein Elokim B'Yisrael Lidrosh B'Dvaro, Lachein Amitasher Alisa Shom Loserin Mimena Kimos Tamus. Same exact nevuah that he gave to the messengers, he's giving to Achaziyahu straight to his face. Here also, right, he switches the order, right? Meaning he starts with the claim of Hamibli Ein Elokim, and again he says Kamar Hashem, right? So these the messengers knew about it, and they gave him this news. Pasuk Yud Zayin, Vayomos Kidvar Hashem Asher Diber Eliyahu, and Achaziyahu dies exactly as Eliyahu predicts. Vayimloch Yehoram Tachtov. His son Yehoram takes over after his death. Bishnas Shtayim LiYehoram Ben Yehoshaphat Melech Yehuda. And this is equivalent, and we know the Pesukim always do this, they connect the years of the Malach Yisrael and the Malach Yehuda. This was the equivalent of the second year of Yehoram, the son of Yehoshaphat. So they're both Yehoram, right? It can get confusing. The Melech Yehuda, Elo Hayelo Bain. Now, I may have mentioned, Yehoram is not Achaziyahu's son. Achaziyahu does not have any sons, right? That's what the Pasuk says, Elo Hayelo Bain. He did not have any sons. So Yehoram was his brother. His brother takes over as king because he has no sons. All the Mefarshim pick up here that if you do the math, you know, in the years, and again, with that, I try not to get too involved in the math of all these years, because every time the years are mentioned, the Mefarshim all go to town doing the math here. But in reality, the Rashi points out that this could not have been the actual second year of Yehoram ben Yehoshaphat, because Yehoshaphat ruled for 25 years, and this was only, if you do the math, this was only the 19th year of Yehoshaphat. So Yehoshaphat still has, you know, a good 6-7 years left. So this can't be the second year of Yehoshaphat's son. So he says, what's the pshat? He says, Yehoshaphat really deserved to die in the battle of Ramos Gilad. We learned about Ramos Gilad when Yehoshaphat went to war with Achav. So because of that alliance, which wasn't proper, he really deserved to die, but because he went and he went to seek out the Navi and he cried out to Hashem, so because of that he was spared. But the years of his son's reign, we already start counting in his lifetime, because really he deserved to die. He just got a special, you know, lease on life that he lived another 7 years, but he really deserved to die then. So this was the second year after that count. That's how Rashi understands it. The Radak says that there was a machlokas among his sons, Yehoshaphat, and therefore he was worried that if he would die without appointing a successor, there would be a terrible machlokas and maybe the malchus would be divided. So therefore in his lifetime, he appointed his oldest son as the successor to him. So in a sense, his son already took over as king in his lifetime. So that's why he was still alive for another 7 years. But this was still another 6 years. This was already the second year of his son's reign during Yehoshaphat's lifetime. That's how the Radak understands. And then the final pasuk, all the other stories of Achazyahu are written in the Sefer Divrei Hayamim. Okay, that is the end of Perek Aleph. Mitzvah Hashem, next week, we will pick up with Perek Beis, more exciting stories of Eliyahu HaNavi, and especially Eliyahu's ascent to Shamayim. Okay. Thank you all for coming. What? If he deserved to die, who? Yehoshaphat? Oh, so the Mefarshim say it's because he had his chus, because he cried out to Hashem, or we know that even though he partnered with Achav, but we know he was still Machbid, he wanted to get the advice of the Navi. He wouldn't go to battle unless he got the good advice. Remember, the VA Sheker, he wasn't accepting. So there were
heard stories along the way of his popularity that he was
probably. All right. Thank you, Rabbi.
And we've never
thank you, Rabbi.